The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 45. The Corn Mother and the Corn Maiden in Northern Europe. Part 2. In harvest, there was a struggle to escape from being the last done with the shearing, and when tillage in common existed, instances were known of a ridge being left unshorn. No person would claim it, because of it being behind the rest. The fear entertained was that of having the famine of the farm, Gortabtauil, in the shape of an imaginary old woman, Kaleach, to feed till next harvest. Much emulation and amusement arose from the fear of this old woman. The first one made a doll of some blades of corn, which was called the old wife, single quoting sent it to his nearest neighbor. He in turn, when ready, passed it to another still less expeditious, and the person it last remained with had the old war man to keep for that year. In the island of Islay the last corn cut goes by the name of the old wife, Kaleach, and when she has done her duty at harvest she is hung up on the wall and stays there till the time comes to plough the fields for the next year's crop. Then she is taken down, and on the first day when the men go to plough she is divided among them by the mistress of the house. They take her in their pockets and give her to the horses to eat when they reach the field. This is supposed to secure good luck for the next harvest, and is understood to be the prop end of the old wife. Usages of the same sort are reported from Wales. Thus in North Pembrokeshire a tuft of the last corn cut, from 6 to 12 inches long, is plucked and goes by the name of the hag, Ratch. And quaint old customs used to be practised with it within the memory of many persons still alive. Great was the excitement among the reapers when the last patch of standing of corn was reached. All in turn threw their sickles at it, and the one who succeeded in cutting it received a jug of home-brewed ale. The hag, Ratch, was then hurriedly made and taken to a neighbouring farm, while the reapers were still busy at their work. This was generally done by the ploughman. But he had to be very careful not to be observed by his neighbours, for if they saw him coming and had the least suspicion of his errand they would soon make him retrace his steps. Creeping stealthily up behind a fence he waited till the foreman of his neighbour's reapers was just opposite him and within easy reach. Then he suddenly threw the hag over the fence and, if possible, upon the foreman's sickle. On that he took to his heels and made off as fast as he could run, and he was a lucky man if he escaped without being caught or cut by the flying sickles which the infuriated reapers hurled after him. In other cases the hag was brought home to the farmhouse by one of the reapers. He did his best to bring it home dry and without being observed. But he was apt to be roughly handled by the people of the house, if they suspected his errand. Sometimes they stripped him of most of his clothes, sometimes they would drench him with water which had been carefully stored in buckets and pans for the purpose. If, however, he succeeded in bringing the hag in dry and unobserved, the master of the house had to pay him a small fine. Or sometimes a jug of beer, from the cask next to the wall, which seems to have commonly held the best beer, would be demanded by the bearer. The hag was then carefully hung on a nail in the hall or elsewhere and kept there all the year. The custom of bringing in the hag, Ratch, into the house and hanging it up still exists in some farms of North Pembrokeshire, but the ancient ceremonies which have just been described are now discontinued. In County Antrim, down to some years ago, when the sickle was finally expelled by the reaping machine, the few stalks of corn left standing last on the field were plucked together. Then the reapers, blindfolded, threw their sickles at the plucked corn, and whoever happened to cut it through took it home with him and put it over his door. This bunch of corn was called the Kali, probably the same word as Kalian. Similar customs are observed by Slavonic peoples. Thus in Poland the last sheaf is commonly called the Boba, that is, the old woman. In the last sheaf, it is said, sits the Boba. The sheaf itself is also called the Boba, and is sometimes composed of 12 smaller sheaves lashed together. In some parts of Bohemia, the boba, made out of the last sheaf, has the figure of a woman with a great straw hat. It is carried home on the last harvest wagon and delivered, along with a garland, to the farmer by two girls. In binding the sheaves, the women strive not to be last, for she who binds the last sheaf will have a child next year. Sometimes the harvesters call out to the woman who binds the last sheaf, "She has the boba," or, "She is the boba." In the district of Krakow, when the man binds the last sheaf, they say, "The grandfather is sitting in it." When a woman binds it, they say, "The boba is sitting in it," and the woman herself is wrapped up in the sheaf, so that only her head projects out of it. Thus encased in the sheaf, she is carried on the last harvest wagon to the house, where she is drenched with water by the whole family. She remains in the sheaf till the dance is over, and for a year she retains the name of boba. In Lithuania, the name for the last sheaf is boba, old woman, answering to the Polish name boba. The boba is said to sit in the corn which is left standing last. The person who binds the last sheaf or digs the last potato is the subject of much banter, and receives and long retains the name of the old rear woman or the old potato woman. The last sheaf, the boba, is made into the form of a woman, carried solemnly through the village on the last harvest wagon, and drenched with water at the farmer's house. Then everyone dances with it. In Russian also, the last sheaf is often shaped and dressed as a woman, and carried with dance and song to the farmhouse. Out of the last sheaf, the Bulgarians make a doll which they call the corn queen or corn mother. It is dressed in a woman's shirt, carried round the village, and then thrown into the river in order to secure plenty of rain and dew for the next year's crop. Or it is burned in the ashes strewn on the fields, doubtless to fertilize them. The name queen, as applied to the last sheaf, has its analogies in Central and Northern Europe. Thus, in the Salzburg district of Austria, at the end of the harvest a great procession takes place, in which a queen of the corn is, Ahrenkönigin, is drawn along in a little carriage by young fellows. The custom of the harvest queen appears to have been common in England. Milton must have been familiar with it, for in Paradise Lost he says, "Adam the while waiting desirous her return, had wove of choicest flower as a garland to adorn her tresses, and her rural labours crown, as reapers oft are wont their harvest queen." Often customs of this sort are practised, not on the harvest field but on the threshing floor. The spirit of the corn, fleeing before the reapers as they cut down the ripe grain, quits the reaped corn and takes refuge in the barn, where it appears in the last sheaf threshed, either to perish under the blows of the flail or to flee thence to the still unthreshed corn of a neighbouring farm. Thus the last corn to be threshed is called the mother corn or the old woman. Sometimes the person who gives the last stroke with the flail is called the old woman, and is wrapped in the straw of the last sheaf, or has a bundle of straw fastened on his back. Whether wrapped in the straw or carrying it on his back, he is carted through the village amid general laughter. In some districts of Bavaria, Thuringia, and elsewhere, the man who threshes the last sheaf is said to have the old woman or the old corn woman. He is tied up in straw, carried or carted about the village, and set down at last on the dunghill, or taken to the threshing floor of a neighbouring farmer who has not finished his threshing. In Poland, the man who gives the last stroke at threshing is called boba, old woman. He is wrapped in corn and wheeled through the village. Sometimes in Lithuania the last sheaf is not threshed, but is fashioned into female shape and carried to the barn of a neighbour who has not finished his threshing. In some parts of Sweden, when a stranger woman appears on the threshing floor, a flail is put round her body, stalks of corn are wound round her neck, a crown of ears is placed on her head, and the threshers call out, "Behold the corn woman." Here the stranger woman, thus suddenly appearing, is taken to be the corn spirit who has just been expelled by the flails from the corn stalks. In other cases the farmer's wife represents the corn spirit. Thus in the commune of Salik, Vendi, the farmer's wife, along with the last sheaf, is tied up in a sheet, placed on a litter, and carried to the threshing machine, under which she is shoved. Then the woman is drawn out and the sheaf is threshed by itself, but the woman is tossed in the sheet, as if she were being winnowed. It would be impossible to express more clearly the identification of the woman with the corn than by this graphic imitation of threshing and winnowing her. In these customs the spirit of the ripe corn is regarded as old, or at least as of mature age. Hence the names of mother, grandmother, old woman, and so forth. But in other cases the corn spirit is conceived as young. Thus at Selden, near Wolfenbüttel, when the rear has been reaped, three sheaves are tied together with a rope so as to make a puppet with the corn near his forehead. This puppet is called the maiden or the corn maiden. Sometimes the corn spirit is conceived as a child who is separated from its mother by the stroke of the sickle. This last view appears in the Polish custom of calling out to the man who cuts the last handful of corn, "You have cut the navel string." In some districts of West Prussia the figure made out of the last sheaf is called the bastard, and a boy is wrapped up in it. The woman who binds the last sheaf and represents the corn mother is told that she is about to be brought to bed. She cries like a woman in travail, and an old woman in the character of grandmother acts as midwife. At last a cry is raised that the child is born. Whereupon the boy who is tied up in the sheaf whimpers and squalls like an infant. The grandmother wraps a sack, in imitation of swaddling bands, round the pretended baby, who is carried joyfully to the barn, lest he should catch cold in the open air. In other parts of North Germany the last sheaf, or the puppet made out of it, is called the child, the harvest child, and so on, and they call out to the woman who binds the last sheaf, "You are getting the child." In some parts of Scotland, as well as in the north of England, the last handful of corn cut on the harvest field was called the kirn, and the person who carried it off was said to win the kirn. It was then dressed up like a child's doll and went by the name of the kirn baby, the kirn doll, or the maiden. In Berwickshire down to about the middle of the 19th century there was an eager competition among the reapers to cut the last bunch of standing corn. They gathered round it at a little distance and threw their sickles in turn at it, and the man who succeeded in cutting it through gave it to the girl he preferred. She made the corn so cut into a kirn dolly and dressed it, and the doll was then taken to the farmhouse and hung up there till the next harvest, when its place was taken by the new kirn dolly. At Spottiswoode in Berwickshire the reaping of the last corn at harvest was called cutting the queen, almost as often as cutting the kirn. The mode of cutting it was not by throwing sickles. One of the reapers consented to be blindfolded, and having been given a sickle in his hand and turned twice or thrice about by his fellows, he was bidden to go and cut the kirn. His groping about and making wild strokes in the air with his sickle excited much hilarity. When he had tired himself out in vain and given up the task as hopeless, another reaper was blindfolded and pursued the quest, and so on, one after the other, till at last the kirn was cut. The successful reaper was tossed up in the air with three cheers by his brother harvesters. To decorate the room in which the kirn supper was held at Spottiswoode as well as the granary, where the dancing took place, two women made kirn dollies or coins every year. And many of these rustic effigies of the corn spirit might be seen hanging up together.